The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
I'd love to start with just a quick introduction. Give me your name and what it is that you do associated with the Mountain View Food Service Program.
Angela Davis, I'm the program director. I basically write the grant, administer the grant, pay all the bills, pay the payroll taxes, get the menus out, get the surveys out, pretty much everything that has to do with the entire program, besides cook the food.
I'm Dwayne Bell. I'm actually the president of the board. I just oversee the program, make sure things go well, and coordinate with the cooks and all the Angela and everybody. That's pretty much it.
Diane Marsh. I've been on the board for quite a while. Well, I've been involved with the program since 1981, when I started driving the van to pick up people for dinner, and then I took over the cook job and left for a while and came back, and now I'm on the board.
And I want to quickly distinguish between the Mountain View Manor, which is a for-profit residence, and the Mountain View Food Service Program, which is a nonprofit program that then uses part of the Mountain View Manor building, the dining room, to host its dinners.
So correct. Mountain View Food Services rents the community dining room and the kitchen on the Petersburg elderly housing side. And I believe we've been renting there since the building was built. Yep.
Okay. So who does this program serve?
The program serves anyone who is 60 and older, the spouse of anyone who is 60 and older, and anyone who is disabled living in an assisted living facility.
And what's the goal of the program?
Is to feed as many seniors as we can. The program, it doesn't matter. Anybody over 60, we want to feed as many as people as possible, because I believe that it does make a difference for them. A lot of them, it's the only meal that they may not get, you know, for a couple of days. So we try to hit as many as people as possible.
I was talking to one of the administrators of the grant program who came through town recently, and she said something about how the goal is to help people stay independent in their homes as long as possible as well.
So I learned that the other day as well. I thought part of it was also a huge portion was socialization, just because a lot of older people are in their houses, they're by themselves all day long, or wherever they live by themselves. And it's to bring them to a nutritious meal, to engage in socialization with other people. And I've learned, you know, keeping them in their home longer, keeping them more independent.
Yeah, and that socialization part is interesting, because the way that the Mountain View Food Service Program has been run in the last few years has been really different, right, with COVID. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the dining room opened about 2 months ago.
About 2 months ago, just to the people who live in the manor.
Are you working towards having it open and changing the program back to being congregate meals there at the dining room as opposed to those deliveries? Or is deliveries working in a way that maybe you'll continue that?
I believe that that's the goal of the program, is to get it back to pre-COVID, but it just depends on our community and the elders in our community and how they feel, and the allowance of, you know, outside people coming back into the manor for the congregate meals. I think that's a great goal for us to have, but I think it's definitely going to take time.
you know, I think also that they've gotten, in the last few years, they've gotten pretty comfortable with us delivering their meals. So they still are a little concerned about congregate meals, because then they're having to have contact with outside people. So I believe it's going to be difficult for us to get back to that congregate meals because of the fact that they're still worried about COVID.
So speaking of COVID, I know that your numbers have changed a lot in the last few years. And I was wondering if we could talk about those changes. You know, the numbers of people who use the service have gone up. Do you have any sense of why that is, why it's increased so much?
I think there's a few factors. The first one I would say is, you know, we definitely have an aging population in our community. You do have to be qualified to eat and get these meals. So that's their first factor that has definitely increased. Whether they're just more people have gotten older or more people who are older are more aware of the program, that could be also. You know, we are 5 nights a week instead of 3. I believe that the cost of food currently with inflation has caused a lot of people to look elsewhere to save money where they can. And, you know, someone does not have to pay because the program is donation only. During COVID, when people were shut in their homes and not able to leave, I feel that this was a convenient way for people to get a nutritious meal. So, you know, all those factors together have definitely increased the number of people that we serve and the amount of meals that we do serve.
What about you two as board members? Have you seen anything anecdotally that explains the increase?
I think it's the aging population and people not wanting to go out, but they do want to have a good meal.
Yeah, and I agree. And I also think that if we look at the age of our members that are getting the meals, would they go out and eat meals at restaurants and things like that? I don't believe so. I don't think it's, they're just not going to go out and eat because the cost of everything's gone up so much, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, I've delivered plenty of meals and there's many people who, there's no way that they have the ability to leave their homes, even if they wanted to go eat at one of the local restaurants. That's not the intent of the program. I don't think it's, as has been mentioned, that we are in competition with the local businesses. I don't even think the local businesses would even think that. During COVID, when we were struggling to have a full-time cook, a full-time driver, enough drivers to help deliver meals, we actually turned to the local restaurants in town and approached all of them and said, hey, would you be interested, because we need to pick up slack one day a week, would you be interested in cooking a meal ahead of time? You know, having having their cooked menu, you know, on our menu. I would call up restaurants by noon, and the local restaurants, I mean, they were great. They would cook 60 or 70 extra dinners for us to pick up at 4 o'clock to go start delivering. So I just don't think that they would see it that way either.
And you guys are referencing the discussion that happened at some assembly meetings earlier this year when you were requesting money from the borough that was more than the amount that you generally request. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about why you had to request more money this year than in years past?
Just the cost of groceries, the way they've gone up, and the meals we're serving, we have to have more money. That's all there is to it. We can't keep the program going if we don't have that money.
So our grant program is about a 4-year grant. And so when COVID hit and the cost started going up, we didn't have, I mean, our grant was 4 years. Based on prior to COVID and cost of food and cost of business going up, so it definitely hurt us that way. And so we had, you know, we were $42,000 short, and the only avenue we would had was to the borough.
So you had written a grant several years previous, estimating the cost that you would need to cover, and then inflation, COVID, higher numbers all added to making it much more expensive than you'd expected. Yeah. And so then that, was it $42,800 from the borough was what was needed to cover that expense?
Correct. So we are getting ready to start year two of our four-year grant cycle. So last year when I wrote the grant for, I originally requested about $148,000. And that is what we had spent the prior year, you know, as numbers are increasing. So they came back and we were awarded around $104,000. So we're about $44,000 short. In the past, we have been able to maintain through, we get a grant every year from the borough. Usually it's around $11,000, $12,000, $13,000. We have been gifted money through grants from First Bank, Petersburg Community Foundation, the Rasmussen Foundation. But the one that has really solidified our program, I believe, is the one from the CDC that was actually administered through Petersburg Indian Association. And that grant really helped us through the time when there was such a huge deficit, because prior to this grant we applied for a year ago when we got the $104,000, we were only getting like $40,000. And so we did our best to do what we could do. You know, the Moose Club has had fundraisers. You know, we've exhausted a lot of different areas. And I just, you know, the borough can only say no, right? But they could say yes. So that was my first try to get, you know, the deficit covered.
So one of the things that came up during those assembly meetings when you guys were requesting the money, Aaron Hankins, who is the EMS coordinator, pointed out that one of the benefits of the Mountain View Food Service Program is that in delivering those meals, that sort of serves as a wellness check for people who might not have contact with folks outside in any other way.
So when you go deliver meals, the people that you're delivering their meal for, they're very excited to see you. You're the only person that they see all day. They're so excited to see you. They're trying to tell you that they're happy that you're bringing them dinner because that's the only meal that they're going to have all day or possibly into 2 days when we were only 3 days a week. The most relevant experience I can talk about is more of a wellness check is when one of our past delivery drivers, he was knocking on the door. The lady didn't answer, knocked again, didn't answer. He opened her door. Door was unlocked. He calls out to her. He kind of hear her voice. He goes into her home and she's there laying on the floor, could not get up, didn't have a cell phone by her, wasn't near a phone to grab. And I feel like she was on the floor for like 6 or 8 hours. Like it was quite a long time.
Yeah, it was. It was at least 6 hours. And so, you know, our drivers are very personable with our members. And so they have conversations with them. They get to know them. I mean, I've delivered, like all of us deliver at times, and they are excited to see us. And you know, we get to visit with them for a few minutes, you know, because we have meals to deliver, but we try to spend a few minutes with them and have a conversation with them so they feel like, you know, that we care, because we do. All of us care about this program, and the people that work for us, you know, the cook and the delivery driver, they really care about these people, and that really means a lot to them.
Another thing that came up during those assembly meetings is that people ask why you can't charge for these meals. Why is it that you can't charge? You just have to ask for donations.
So according to the RFP that we fill out for our grant, there's specific language in there that refers to the Older Americans Act, and it prohibits a means moves test. So no matter what someone makes, they cannot be ineligible for this program.
So the money that you get through this program that partly funds the program prevents you from actually asking for the money?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So you can only accept donations without asking for them?
That's right. Donations only. And if they can't afford, they don't have to but we still will provide them a meal.
You know, when we talk about donations, the things that we can do, though, is we could take donations from fishermen, anybody that wants to donate food or things like that, we can accept that. Like, we do get a few fishermen that Paul Anderson every year used to bring his fish. He would take it to Tonka Seafoods. They'd process, because in order for us to serve the meal, the fish or anything that's donated, it has to be processed by a licensed processor. So all of our fish that's donated goes to Tonka Seafoods, and they process it for us. It used to be when king salmon run out up at the hatchery, prior years, we would go out there and pick up fish, that the brightest fish that we can get, and take it to the processor. They'd process for us, and that's how we used to get a lot of our fish. That doesn't happen anymore, but so we are still accepting any fisherman that has fish that wants to donate to us. We would take it in a heartbeat. We just have to have it delivered to Tonka Seafoods. They process it for us. We get moose meat, you know, every year with the illegal moose. We get a portion of that donated to us. And it does. It goes a long way. It really does help a lot. So there are other avenues for donations that a group of people or a family wanted to come in. We want to pay for the meal for that night. We could do that also. Okay. That's part of what the grant program would like to see us do, is reach out to local businesses or individuals and accept the fact that they could take Tuesday nights and cover all the costs for that night, you know, for those meals. We don't see none of that, but that is an option out there to let people know that they could do that if this program means that much to them.
That's great to know about. What do you think that people misunderstand about this program?
That all the food we get is free.
People think that you just get free food?
Well, I think that people think that maybe it actually only costs us $7 for the meal, because that is our suggested donation. But that suggested donation is a number that's been voted on by the board. It was last increased about 5.5 years ago, $1. But it costs us more like $19.08 a meal to administer the entire program, right? Because you have wages for the cook and the delivery driver. You have the expenses of food. You have fuel in the vehicles. You have insurance on the vehicles. You know, you have all these costs that people don't see other than the meal in the container.
Right.
You know, the rent, the telephone. All those things.
What would happen in Petersburg if services were cut back or if they ceased to exist?
Some people would be hungry. They would be hungry. That would be sad. Very sad.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if this grant program goes away, I don't know what we'd do. It would probably dissolve the program. So it's important for us to keep going the direction we're going, doing our best to, you know, we don't try to go out and ask for money, but sometimes we just have to in order to make this work for our members, you know. Did we want to ask the borough for $42,000? Not really. We know what kind of budget restraints they have, you know. We will try anything we can to get donations and things like that. You know, one of the questions that came to us by the borough was, why don't you increase your suggested donation? Well, in my view, to do that, when all these other entities, is, you know, electric, fuel, food, everything's gone through the roof. We can't just keep going after the donation part of it for money from the members. They can't afford it. And the whole thing, we get not that many donations that people actually pay for. And so we felt that we just couldn't do that. We just couldn't ask them for more donations from the people that are involved because they're on fixed incomes. And if food goes up, they still on that fixed income. We need to keep cost down as much as possible. And on the same hand, we try to buy everything locally so that that money is kept into the community. I mean, I'm sure we could cut some cost by going on the outside, but you know, we want to keep everything locally as much as possible.
Yeah, I think it would be very sad. I mean, there definitely are people in this town who get meals who maybe the rest of us don't see on a daily or ever, that, you know, this is the one warm meal that they do eat a day. And sometimes they don't eat other than that one meal. I think it's very important. It's a very important attribute to our community that we do serve very high quality meals. My mother, who lives in Montana, volunteers with an elderly lady older than her, and they have a Meals on Wheels program down there, and everything is prepackaged, pre-sealed. And my mom keeps telling them, you should go to Petersburg, Alaska. Their food looks so much better than yours does. But, you know, I mean, we do serve good quality meals. And I think it's a great program. It's a great program, and there's a lot of people who really do depend on the program.
You know, the more we could educate our community and what our program is about and how important it is, I think that there's a lot of people out there just don't know or don't understand, and this is a good avenue to get it out there. If there's people that out there that want to just volunteer their time to come up and help, you know, we always are open-armed with folks that want to help us. I mean, during the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we double our output, and it takes more than just a cook and the delivery guy to do 100 meals in a night. And during the holidays, that's what we do. And so, you know, if somebody wanted to spend some time volunteering to help drive or whatever it takes, you know, do a few dishes or help bag food or whatever, you know, we're certainly are open for that also. Board positions, we've always need board positions. If somebody wants to be a board member, contact us. There's always seemed to be a room on the board for somebody, you know.
How can folks get a hold of you if they're interested in volunteering or joining the board?
I'm pretty, as far as myself, I'm pretty accessible to people. Talk to me on the street, you know, wherever I'm at. They could certainly call me. I have no problem with having any discussion with people about the program and if they were interested in helping in any way.
What about the 772-4331 number that I have memorized because I've read so many Mountain View Food Service Program menus on the radio? Is that a number that people can call, or will they just get the...
They would get the message machine, or if somebody's there would answer. That's certainly an avenue to go, because they will, if somebody wants to volunteer or help or donate or whatever, we would coordinate that through the cook, because she runs the kitchen, and then she would get a hold of me, absolutely pass it on to me, then one of us would make that contact.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Is there anything else that you want to add?
I think it's important that we get more people on the board too, because everybody's got good ideas, and they can share those, and maybe some things will change for the better. I think we've got a great program right now, but it's always good to have new blood.
All right. Diane Marsh, looking for new blood. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this with me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having us.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.